Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. What is the battle for survival of Western civilization? It's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Melody Cedarstrom of Discount Gold and Silver. And, of course, we're... want you to know that Melody supports Radio Liberty, but we support her. We think she does a great job for our listeners, and we get nothing but praise from people who've done business with her. Under any circumstances, this last week has certainly been one of the most exciting, frightening, terrifying, disastrous periods that I can ever remember. And it goes into the financial collapse that is in the process of taking away, not only taking place, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And we've been warning people for years that this was going to come, that every fiat money system throughout all history has eventually collapsed. It collapsed in Venice, you know, in the 13th and 14th centuries. It collapsed in Florence in the 1600s with the Medicis. Where, of course, they'd been playing this whole game for several centuries in Florence. Did a wonderful job, created tremendous prosperity, and eventually the system collapsed. They tried it in ancient Greece. They tried it in ancient Rome. They tried it in Germany after the First World War. And they're right now, of course, they're doing the same thing in Rhodesia, where they today have 2.5% a year inflation, 2.5% a year inflation in Zimbabwe with the government that we installed there and we are keeping in power. We gave them $171 million of humanitarian aid this last year to keep that ruthless, tyrannical government in power that has destroyed the value of the currency. Are we just trying to see how inflation would work in America? Well, let me tell you, of course, what's really happened is that certainly this last week, while we've seen what the Federal Reserve System that take over Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, and basically what they've done is that they've made themselves liable for several $1 trillion of debts. And they had about $5 trillion of holdings, but so much of it was just non-viable. And now the taxpayers are on the hook for that. And then, of course, AIG, the American Investment Group Insurance Company, American Investment Group, has had, well, I think we bought it for about $85 billion. But you have to understand, they have trillions of dollars of derivatives that are going to go into default. And who do you think is going to be responsible for those trillions of dollars? Why, ladies and gentlemen, you aren't. The government has no money. The only way they can, of course, create that money is simply to create it out of nothing, expand the money supply, and by so doing, of course, destroy the value of the currency and the life savings of the American people. Of course, earlier we saw the federal government guarantee the J.P. Morgan Chase's purchase of Bear Stearns. That was just $30 billion they had to put up for that. $1 billion here, $1 billion there, $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking about worthless currency. And that's how great nations are destroyed. Well, Melody Cedarstrom, how are you tonight?
Just fine, Dr. Stan. Thank you for having me. I hope you're well.
I hope we're doing just fine. Well, tell us, has certainly with the skyrocketing price of gold this week, and silver for that matter, has this influenced your business? Are people beginning to come back and begin to purchase now, or are they just going to wait and see what's happening?
Well, it's interesting because the busy days this week were Monday and Tuesday prior to the huge increases, and I received a lot of, although it has been hectic, I've received a lot of people who, when you have these huge increases, they're going to see if it's going to settle down and come back so they can save, maybe $10, $20, $30. But I don't think this will happen this time. We certainly...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Melody Cedarstrom. Okay, Melody, go right ahead. You were just saying you don't think this is going to happen this time? You think that it's not going to drop back as dramatically as it has sometimes in the past?
Well, I think they're going to try everything in the power to keep gold from rising. It was interesting today because all in the CNBC, the financial news network, they showed gold down, the futures contract for December down 30-some dollars, but yet the spot market was up all day long, and of course the spot market closed up $8 more than what the December contract showed, but yet they tried to manipulate and show everyone that the gold is down. And even though we did have a little bit of a pullback, gold is still up 13% for the week, so it's difficult to see, to say what gold will do in a short-term basis from day to day, but as you were mentioning in the beginning of the program, we're certainly going to be going into more of a hyperinflation as our currency begins to be go through the completion of the decline to the zero and into hyperinflation, so which is all positive for gold. So long term, absolutely, this is very significant for gold this week.
And I really think, of course, what we're seeing, of course, is the beginning of a vicious inflationary spiral because, of course, when you massively increase the amount of money out there, and where's the money going to come from? You know, the government doesn't have any money. The U.S. Treasury Department is currently borrowing well over $2 billion every day from other countries, or you know, so we can pay our debt. So where are they going to come up with the $85 billion for AIG? Where are they going to come up with the $30 billion for Bear Stearns? Where are they going to come up, you know, if they have to pay the trillions of dollars of, you know, of loans, of course, that will be faulty loans for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, with the federal government now having taken over those large mortgage lenders. And so, and of course, now they're talking about bailing out the automotive industry to the tune of $25 or $50 billion. They'd ask for $50 billion. They may only give them $25 billion, but you have to understand that General Motors is already really dedicated to moving its factories overseas. It is the largest automotive producer in China today. And so what we're doing is setting up $25 billion to help General Motors move to China, to help Ford move into South Korea, and I believe, of course, Ford is also going into Mexico. What we are doing is, of course, helping other countries, but we're not helping the American economy, and very few Americans understand the foundation of money. And the foundation of money, if it isn't based on gold and silver, eventually is always just... Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Melody Cedarstrom. And Melody was saying that basically this week, you know, the busiest days were Monday and Tuesday before the price of gold and silver skyrocketed. And since that time, although she's getting lots of calls, it has been nowhere near as hectic as it was Monday and Tuesday. Well, I'm glad it was good on Monday and Tuesday anyway.
It was a good week. In fact, since we saw the turnaround with the beginning of Bear Stearns' announcement over a year ago, the gold market has changed, and it has been a good year. And people are waking up, and they are adding, and they're concerned about the dollars that they hold in banks. And it's interesting because shortly after the markets closed, there was another announcement where Ameribank failed. It's a 12th bank failure this year was announced. Right, I believe it was like right after around 6:30, and that Ameribank was shut down. And I believe that was in Norfolk, West Virginia Bank. It wasn't a very large one. It had 115 million. Total assets, $115 million in total assets, and deposits of $102 million. So, and the FDIC was, of course, named the receivership. And so that's what they do as soon as the markets close. And so things are still on the line. The big bailout that came, and it was interesting to watch how this unfolded because you had CNBC break the story. And when you talk about inside trading, you wonder how long they had the story before they broke it, because then everything just skyrocketed yesterday, and, of course, it continued through today.
Well, I think it's so interesting, Melody, as I'm sure you know, but probably our listeners have not noted, that they're always holding the bank going under until Friday. It's Friday after the market is closed, and then they announce another bank has gone down. So what is that, the 11th or 12th so far?
The 12th.
And, of course, there's a gentleman named W. Scott. He has an equity holding company. Apparently he's a pretty sharp investor. He's talking about 1,000 banks going down here in the United States, within the coming year. There's another Sunday expert over there in England who's talking about as many as 6,000 banks going down here in the next year or two. Our banks are insolvent. This is the problem, because they have too many loans that are just not being paid back, and with a fractional reserve system that allows them to lend money they don't have. Why, suddenly, when you're not going to get a repayment, on the money you don't have, but that you've already lent out, why, of course, this makes our banks so susceptible. The average American really doesn't understand the fractional reserve system. In fact, they don't even understand our monetary system, which has nothing behind it other than faith. And, of course, when that faith begins to fail, then, of course, everything is fraught with terrible, terrible consequences, and that's what we're seeing now. As banks throughout the world don't trust one another, countries don't trust one another, countries don't want the dollar. We've artificially manipulated up the dollar, but it's going to go back down again, and of course, very soon we're going to see these countries throughout the world coming in and buying up anything they can lay their hands on. And when they do, you're going to see literally trillions of dollars expand our monetary system and shatter the value of our currency. Are people aware of this at all, that you're talking to, Melody?
Folks that are longtime listeners to programs like yours and various other programs on the shortwave and on the Internet, particularly the Internet anymore, they know there is something wrong. I don't think they perhaps understand the full monetary system and how what a fiat currency is, but they do understand high prices. They do understand $4 gasoline. They understand that they saw oil drop from 150 to below 100, and yet gasoline prices are basically they dropped 20 cents, and even a diesel didn't drop barely at all. So this is what they understand, and I believe that's enough to get them perhaps motivated to learn just a little more about what is happening, and maybe an alternative way in which they can preserve their purchasing power. And they question about how they can keep their cash and what to do with the cash that they have in the bank. And they are certainly concerned about the cash that is sitting there in their CDs and money markets.
In fact, this last week, Jay Leno had a sort of little clip about all these people buying mattresses. Everybody's out buying mattresses. Why are they buying mattresses? They want some place to put their money where it's got to be safe. And but of course, this is the old line, they've had in the past. Of course, now that people don't put it in the mattress, they put it in the freezer. But be that as it may, more and more people are beginning to ask, is my bank really safe? And certainly when people like Mr. Scott, who has a large equity investment fund, begins to talk about 1,000 banks going down, and we see one every Friday, and it always happens after the markets have closed on Friday, so everything is manipulated. And it's like what happened to the stock market this week. It went down almost 1,000 points, came back up again. But it's all the manipulation. This has nothing to do with people going in. People aren't investing in the stock market. This is the Working Group on Financial Markets. The Working Group on Financial Markets. And it's also known as the Plunge Protection Team. Go up on the Internet, ladies and gentlemen, and Google in the Working Group on Financial Markets. Write it down. Look it up. You'll find out it's a government agency that manipulates the stock market and manipulates the commodity market, manipulates the price of gold and silver. And it's all a matter of perception. It has nothing to do with a free market. Has nothing to do with market forces. It has to do with manipulating how you look at things. In fact, everything is manipulation of the public and their perception, and trying to convince them everything's fine when the people in charge, Bernanke and Paulson and the others who really run our monetary system, the private central bankers, because, of course, the Federal Reserve is a privately owned central bank. It is not owned by the government. in fact, more likely, it owns the government rather than owned by the government. And certainly our Congress and our president and the other government officials are simply fronts for the power elite who work behind the scenes and have created tremendous prosperity through creating money out of nothing. And now comes the time of payback. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. What do people tell you, Melody, when they call in? And you, I know you do talk to them and you get an idea what people are thinking all across the country.
They're thinking, they're not sure, you know, people are very confused. And they're very confused in which direction to go, what to do. They don't know where to put their money. They don't want to keep it in the stock market. But yet they have this sense of comfort by receiving their statements that shows that if their CD has $50,000 in it, they feel comforted that it is there. And it is hard for them to grasp the inflation, the way it steals their purchasing power, even though that $50,000 that they had in there for 3 or 4 years have lost its value of purchasing power over the years. So they have a hard time grasping that. But yet they do see the trouble. They feel the trouble. And, of course, many of them have been involved in the drop in the housing prices. And with all the news this week, a lot of the reports, the financial economic reports, just basically went by untouched, you know, with the huge bankruptcies, I mean the huge foreclosures that have been reported this week. Everything has pretty much just been neglected, and the unemployment, and it is all about the economy, folks, and everything that they're doing to bail this out has nothing to do with the economy. But yet it amazes me that they still continue to say the strength of our economy will continue if they get this bailout passed through legislation. It's also interesting to see how many of these senators and representatives and congressmen have stakes and have shares in AIG and Freddie Mac and Indy Mac and Lehman, all the ones that they're, you know, bailing out have very large sums of money invested in these corporations like Kerry and Pelosi and, you know, and I believe there was quite a few. I saw a number like more than like 56 or senators that were invested in these corporations and companies. So, you know, there it is, folks. You know, it's all about bailing, you know, the fat cats out on Wall Street. And I think one of the most disturbing comments I heard on television this evening was, it was a great day for Wall Street. And that's all they care about. They don't tell you what a bad day it was for this country.
And, of course, I think that people have to understand that a lot of the shareholders in a lot of these big companies are going to lose. Shareholders in AIG are going to lose. The shareholders in Lehman Brothers are going to lose. But what they're going to do is they're going to protect the bondholders. Why? Because the people who own the bonds, of course, are other foreign governments. And many foreign governments and foreign investors hold the bonds. So they will be compensated. But, of course, the shareholders are going to lose their shirts, and they deserve to lose their shirts. I mean, you're talking about stocks that perhaps, you know, were $70 a share a year ago, and now they're down to $2 a share or $1 a share. And some of them are even going to fall below $1 a share. And this is happening to so many of our financial institutions. And our financial institutions are simply going under. They're laying off massive numbers of people. And the whole financial infrastructure of our society, which is based on a phony money system, is beginning, of course, to decompensate at the present time. And the question is, you know, will the government be able to pump enough money in? Since the government doesn't have any money of its own, the money it's doing is pumping in is going to be simply new money that's created. And, of course, it's going to have interest paid on it. New money, of course, is going to be suddenly highly inflationary, and we think the prices have gone up in the past. You haven't seen anything yet. And certainly it's going to be very interesting to see what happens this coming week. But understand, the working group on financial markets manipulates the stock market, and that's the last thing they want the public to know. Well, once again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest this evening is Melody Cederstrom from Discount Gold and Silver, and she's on the front lines of this battle, talking to people across the country. And I think the Melody manifests what many of them feel, and that is people are concerned. They don't understand what's happening. I mean, their lives based upon the security of money is beginning to be shaken, but they can't see the big picture. But at least they're contacting her because they realize there's something wrong with the monetary system, and of course they are, of course, trying to get something of value for the currency. And I think, of course, we're going to increasingly see people throughout the world doing this. Have you heard what's going on? We've heard, that, of course, that the Indians are... people over in India are buying up fantastic amounts of precious metals. Is there any truth to that, Melody?
Yes, there is. This time of year, they have all their festivals, and this is a big time for them to be purchasing gold. They're big buyers of gold, and particularly since we saw the falling gold prices a little bit earlier, they came back into the market, and they've done some tremendous buying this year. But that's... You also have this also in the Asian countries. You have Dubai also as a heavy buyer of gold. We know we have China's big buyers. You know, Russians are big buyers. Basically, the Europeans, possibly Canadians, and the Americans, who they just don't have a handle on things. And, of course, the Americans are of the three, the least knowledgeable of financial affairs, and but they've been conditioned. They've been conditioned over the years to trust. In fact, you know, people have been conditioned for, you know, since World War II to trust the government that they will get them out of their fixes. And we've seen various problems throughout the years where the governments have always come to the rescue. And of course, today there's a large amount of people who still believe that the announcements this week will help bail out Wall Street, and of course will help with the housing market. A lot of people believe with the passing of this bailout that the homeowners will actually be helped, and I doubt if very many homeowners in trouble will actually be helped, because interest rates for mortgages are continuing to rise, and most of them, they don't qualify to be able to refinance on their loan. So they're stuck with the loan that they have. Even if they might delay the foreclosures to some degree and so forth, there isn't anything that they can do to get out of the fix that they put themselves in. Credit card debt is continuing to increase. That's what people use now to live on. They have to buy their groceries. Schools started up. So they're living on their credit cards. For gasoline prices being higher, they use their credit cards, their credit card debt, in order, it's survival debt. The groceries are put on credit cards, so they're so deep in debt, they couldn't qualify for a new mortgage. So I don't think the bailout will really help anybody but Wall Street.
Well, of course, what really was to me was the most amazing thing was the fact that just within the last 48 hours, the Federal Reserve System has started lending money to foreign central banks. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Melody Cederstrom, and we're talking about the amazing week that we've had. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But within the last 48 hours, the United States Federal Reserve, now remember, this has nothing to do with our government. The Federal Reserve is a privately owned central bank created by the bankers back in 1913 to rinse the bankers and, of course, to impoverish the people and to destroy the value of our currency. It's taken them, well, certainly 95 years to get to the point where they are today. But the central banks of the world work together in concert. And, of course, this is beautifully covered in Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, on pages 324 and 325. And we actually have the important quotations, the little pamphlet we offer entitled The History of Money. But what the American people do not understand is in the last 48 hours, the United States Federal Reserve, our central bank, has lent central banks in Switzerland and in Europe and in England $250 billion. This is just in the last 48 hours. And, you know, a friend of mine wrote a little note to me and said, you know, $1 billion here, $1 billion there, $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there. Pretty soon you're talking about worthless money. And that's exactly it. The Federal Reserve is simply, having the money printed up, issuing bonds, and of course, bonds that you're responsible for. But that doesn't matter because they have nothing to lose. All they can do is gain. And they continue making profits is the problem. It's going to be dumped back on the taxpayers by destroying the value of their currency and their pension funds and their annuities and their CDs and their treasury bonds and everything else they think has value. But as long as they're denominated in dollars, they will lose value. And as Ludwig von Mises said, and Ludwig von Mises was the father of the Austrian school of economics, he said bonds are the certificates of guaranteed confiscation. Bonds are certificates of guaranteed confiscation. People are frantically buying treasury bonds in the United States today. Why? Because they put their money into money market funds. Actually, they're losing money. The money market funds have made a lot of bad investments. And you put in $100,000, you know, 3 months ago, and it's probably worth it. And of course, you're expecting to get a good interest rate on it. But instead of getting a good interest rate on it, now your $100,000 is probably worth $95,000 with no interest payments on it. And money market funds are in real trouble. So where are the people putting their money? Why, they're putting them into T-bills, and so many people frantically buying T-bills that they've driven the interest rate down to just about zero, or they were getting 3 or 4%. Now you may get 1% or 0.5% or maybe nothing at all when you buy a T-bill, but you think it's going to be able to help preserve the value of your currency without realizing there's nothing behind that currency. Traditionally, money had gold and silver behind it. Ours has nothing but debt. As the debt dissolves, the value of the currency, of course, dissolves right along with it. Well, Melody, what should people be doing at the present time to protect themselves?
They really do need to take control of their finances, and they really do need to position themselves so they can protect what they have. And that's what's important when you purchase gold and silver. You got to remember that gold is a currency. It has no liabilities against anything. There are no liabilities against gold. Gold is a currency, and when they realize the fraud of treasuries, they will be turning to gold. Gold is the next step. You see more and more Wall Street articles. You see more and more people beginning to discuss gold. You're going to have more funds going into gold. Because they see this is the natural progression that we have. And sure, gold will be the last resort, but yet that's where everyone will go. Not only here, but around the world, we see more and more countries buying gold because they see what's going on. And so you do need to position. You know, I start out with new customers, people that are new to trying to understand that they should have a minimum of 30 to 50% of their assets in gold and silver, but folks, it should be a lot higher than that. But it is based on the suitability of each person and what their assets are.
All right, fine. And certainly, Melody, just pull the mouthpiece just a little further away from me. I think it'll be just a little bit clearer. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. If you have a question for Melody, I think that you have to understand that the whole world financial system is beginning to crumble. That's why, of course, our Federal Reserve, our central bank, has given other countries some $250 billion in the last 48 to 72 hours. The whole house of cards coming down. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest, of course, is Melody Cederstrom, and we're talking about what's going on financially in the financial markets, in the gold and silver market, and it, to me, it was really amazing how they were able to manipulate the price of gold and silver down to ridiculous levels. I mean, gold was down in the 600s, and silver was down to about $10, a little over that an ounce. And yet, of course, there wasn't any gold, and it was difficult to get gold assets and very difficult to get many silver assets. They were actually asking a premium of several dollars an ounce if you wanted to buy them. So, I mean, they can manipulate the price down, but that is the artificial market. In the real market, why, you were having difficulty getting silver without paying a tremendous premium, weren't you?
Yes, absolutely. And I believe everything is orchestrated, and we can never figure out there was no reason for gold to fall, from 1,000 down to 740, and there was just absolutely no reason whatsoever. And yet, now when we look back and we see what happened this week, now we know why. They knew what was coming. They knew where they were going with this. This was part of their plan, their orchestration, and I believe they hit gold that hard, because if they didn't, we'd be looking at $1,500 gold today. So I do believe that's why they did that, and why they manipulated it down. And yes, silver, as of yesterday, I haven't sold any silver. And I think I've mentioned many, many times that we would wake up one day and both gold and silver would be gone. It would be difficult to get. Monday I was selling silver. Tuesday I was selling silver. Wednesday I was selling, lots of 90% bags. It seemed plentiful, and when it started to take off, it's just like the market stopped. I really don't know if the main suppliers or dealers for some reason are holding it, but business has been brisk and taking a lot of the items off the shelf. I think we're going to see that in gold also. Someone came in on Wednesday, I believe it was, and they bought $1 million worth of $20 gold pieces. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot, $1 million, but yet, when you're looking at the scheme of things, when everybody is talking billions and trillions of dollars, $1 million doesn't seem a lot compared to a trillion. However, when you look at the $20 gold pieces and you have a limited amount, it puts a serious dent into the inventory and what is available. It did take the Mint State 61.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Melody Cederstrom. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Melody was just saying that she had one client came in this week to buy $1 million worth of...
Well, it wasn't my client.
Oh, it wasn't yours?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I wish it was my client.
Okay.
But no, it was a client with one of my buyers.
All right, fine. Well, look, before we go on, I want you to go ahead and get your web page and your telephone number out, and then we'll get to Chris, who's calling from Plummer, Idaho, and then we'll get to Mark, who's calling from Post Falls, Idaho. And then, of course, if you're out there across America, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But let's get your telephone number and your webpage out.
It is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And, of course, the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
All right, fine. And let's go to Chris in, is it Plummer, Idaho?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fine, Chris. Good to have you with us. Do you have a question?
Well, I got a couple of comments, Dr. Stan.
Okay, go ahead.
If you think back to 1974, I was sitting in a gas line, and it was getting real irritating with my two sons in the backseat and trying to have some stability. But I felt like then I said, I turned to my wife and I said, so this is how we're going to be laid down. And she didn't quite understand it, but I did then. And then a few months later, I found out that Lyft Coca is going to bail out Chrysler. Now, when that happened, I was against it. And I said to myself and everyone else, I said, if this happens, then you got the crack in the dam. Because the little guy, he doesn't get bailed out. Nobody knows him. But the big boy, he gets to go free. Yeah, it saved a lot of jobs. But what it did do, Dr. Stan, it set a precedent of no return.
I think you're absolutely
right. Now we got something that's unstoppable. It's the Titanic, and it's still sinking. The problem is, Lee Iacocca had some backbone. He was a good character. But the point is, he paid it back. But all these other criminals in Washington, they don't care. They absolutely do not care. It's on our back. And it's the American people that are going to suffer. But when they sold out to Chrysler, that was the end. Because that's what started this whole thing. Yeah, they paid it all back. But look what we got now.
Well, of
and
course,
the little guy gets to go down. He goes face down. But the big boys, oh no, we're going to help you. They couldn't give Chrysler enough money and quick enough.
All right, fine. Chris, I think you're absolutely right, but I think you have to understand that behind this, there is a power elite out there that really, of course, manipulate everything. And, of course, they're using the wealth and the military power of the United States to bring about a world government, to create a world empire, which will not be an American empire. It will be ruled by a ruling oligarchy and probably with a one-world ruler. But, Sidney, you're absolutely right. There is no constitutional authority under any circumstances to have bailed out Chrysler back there in the 1970s, any more than there's any constitutional authority to bail out General Motors and Ford today and Lehman Brothers and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and Bear Stearns and now for the Federal Reserve Bank, our central bank, to give $250 billion within the last 48 hours to Switzerland, to the European Central Bank, to Great Britain. We're trying to bail out the whole world, and where's the money coming from? Why, they're going to destroy the value of our currency.
Your guest is right. The last man standing is going to be holding the gold.
Right. You're absolutely right. And, of course, the central banks have been selling gold, but who's been buying it? Privately, people who are planning on issuing a world currency. They're going to control the world monetary system. It's going to have gold backing in it. And you can pretty well figure out exactly who those people are. They've been around for a long time. And they intend to control everything. You control the money. You control the society. Hey, look, thanks very much. Anything else you want to say before we get to go, Chris?
No, you do a great service, Dr. Stan. You are a true, true patriot. I wish everybody would just listen and respond. You've been saying this for years. I've been listening to you.
Okay. Have you called, though, before? I don't recall anybody.
Yeah, I've called before. You know, there's all kinds of stuff I could tell you, but yeah, you pretty much know the scam.
Okay.
I know the scam.
Okay, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
And you too. Bye-bye. Let's go to Mark from Post Falls, Idaho. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Melody, before we go to Mark, do you have any thoughts at all about what Chris was saying?
No, he is absolutely correct, and it's disturbing, and I think this time you will see people become angry at where they've led us.
I really want to find out who is behind this and hold them responsible.
With the bailout of the $250 billion to these world banks, I mean, it's just one step closer to the world government and to a one world banking system.
Amen. Well, we got Mark in Post Falls, Idaho. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan and Melody. How are you?
Hello, Mark. Thank you.
Great. Hey, you know, this whole thing, I look at it like if I can't trust the government in a sense of like young guys like myself who may have an IRA out there and they have silver. Some of us don't have gold. I kind of call silver the poor man's gold, if you will. But with that said, if things get depressionary and you go to pay your mortgage, will silver and gold be valued in such a way that you can make a payment to a Countrywide or whoever has your mortgage, or will it be the old wheelbarrow full of hyperinflation money, and they'll take that just to make your payment?
It might be both, but I think to some degree in the beginning, so you'll be selling, you know, either your gold and silver for the whatever currency is being used at that time, because the currency will be replaced by another currency, and they'll keep doing it until one sticks, or that they do back it by gold. And I do believe they will put gold into the basket of currencies that are trading now, because these currencies worldwide, as they are all fiat, will need some stability, and only gold can do that. And I think they'll probably do the same here, possibly with our currencies, if we go to a, like an Amero, within the three nations, you know, with Mexico, Canada, and America, they could also throw gold into a basket to trade with that currency, because you're going to need stability if you're going to have this global trade to continue and to bring some sort of equality, so to speak, to all these currencies that's all trading in these baskets. So you might be able to do both depending on who your mortgage, if you bank locally, if your mortgage is with a local bank or something, perhaps they might, if you have an American Silver Eagle banks, there are certain banks that can sell the U.S. Silver Eagle, so perhaps they don't buy them back, but they'll sell them. But perhaps in some instances you might be able to trade it with a mortgage, but I would think more or less you'd probably have to sell. There's a lot of things that we're going to go through, and things are we're going to have to change and adapt as they come our way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to predict how anything can happen as we go through this, because we haven't been there yet. So
especially if there's a tyranny aspect. I mean, I think
yes.
If they're not doing this for our benefit at all, so it's either a take us over.
Yep.
And then, I mean, around here I've always thought I'll keep a lot of my silver to trade with local farmers, people with dairy products, milk, eggs, do a do sort of a community effort to trade among people.
Well, certainly Mark gold and silver have been around for thousands of years, and they used it as a medium of exchange long before ancient Greece. So you're going to be always be able to find somebody you will be able to trade your gold and silver for the things that you need. But you want to make sure you have a few small denomination things there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have another $20 gold pieces. You need some small denominations so you can trade for the milk and the eggs and the other things that you need for your family and yourself. But we're moving into uncharted waters here in the United States. And I think before this is over, the average American has suddenly got to reassess what's really important. At least I hope and pray. Anything else you want to say?
Oh, it's definitely Ephesians 6:12, the more I look at it. It's
right.
Principality, the darkness behind the whole thing.
Amen. God bless. Thanks.
Hey, God bless you guys. Take care.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Let's go to Claudia, who's calling from, of all places, Michigan. Hey, what part of Michigan are you in, Claudia?
Just north of Detroit.
Okay, fine. Then you hear us on the radio station back there?
Yes, actually, I hear it from a station in Flint, Michigan,
right,
on 750.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's sort of one of our flagship stations. Okay, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Stan, I wanted to thank you for all you do and your guest. I do have a question, and it's an economic one, although it is regarding biblical prophecy. I wonder, during the tribulation period in Revelations, I believe, it says that people would throw their gold in the streets. It would be worthless. What would the world situation have to be for gold to be worthless, I wonder?
I don't think that was in Revelation. I can't think of the...
I know. It's
I can't think of which one it is, but I know it says where you throw the gold and silver in the streets, it'll be worthless. There's two ways that you can look at that. The way I view it is, if you read the whole book, it relates to a people who won't be able to buy their way with all their gold and silver that they might have. And I'm thinking of, people in Wall Street and the evil. They will not be able to buy their way into heaven and into God's grace. They can throw their gold and silver in the streets because it will be worthless to him.
That is.
You can also look at it as, back in those days, gold and silver was money. If you revert that to today's, what we have as currency, we can throw our currencies in the street because it is worthless. So gold and silver was money back then. If you look at our currencies today, it is a fiat currency. It is worthless, so we could throw it out in the street. So there's a couple of ways that you can interpret
yes,
it.
Yes, thank you for that perspective. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless.
Good
Thanks very much, Claudia.
God bless you, too.
Let's go to Tony, who's calling from Spokane. And, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And give us a call if you have a question for Melody. But right now, let's get to Tony. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Well, pretty good, considering.
What do you mean, considering? Now, you're doing pretty well. I know you. I know Tony's an old friend of mine. He used to be here in Santa Cruz. Now he's up in Washington. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, can I take my comment had to do with the previous two callers. The first fellow was asking about paying mortgages with using gold or silver, and the last lady was asking about gold and silver being worthless. And what I wanted to comment on was actually both of those things. Can I make a stab at it?
Sure, go right ahead.
Well, the Bible says that in the last days men would weep and wail and throw their gold and silver into the streets because it would be of no value. Now, my contention is that when it is time to take the microchip, the mark of the beast, then gold and silver will be of no value because there will be no currency except electronic currency, which will be transmitted through microchips to some giant computer system set up someplace, of which they have many. And unless you take that microchip, you won't be able to buy or sell. If you take the microchip, well, I'm not going to say what's going to happen to you because I think most people in your audience already know. Now secondly, what I think is going on, and in fact I was just talking to my wife about this a little while ago, is that what is going on here is that the government is doing a giant hostile takeover of all banking and mortgages. And, as you know also, they're the suppliers of Social Security to the 80 million baby boomers. I think what's going to happen, in my humble opinion, is that they're going to say that this is so overwhelming for the government that, well, say you have a mortgage and you can't pay it. Well, we'll let you stay in your house, and we'll even send you a Social Security check, and maybe we'll even lower your payment. But you're going to have to do all your payments electronically to the government to pay your mortgage, to pay your taxes, and so that we can simplify this whole thing, you'll just have to take this national ID or microchip.
These things may very well be in the future here, and you're going to have to decide you're going to take the microchip. I'm sure you won't, and I won't either.
Well, now, like I said, this is all supposition. I mean, this is my opinion, and one thing that happened about I didn't even know if I wanted to say this or not, but I guess I will. About 4 months ago, I was having this dream.
Okay.
It was about 2:00 in the morning, and I woke up, and it was kind of scary, actually. And what had happened in this dream was it was a financial dream. And gold went up $75 in one day, and it set off a panic. And then there was things that happened thereafter. And then eventually what happened was the truck stopped rolling and the grocery shelves were empty. And then I woke up because I was so scared.
Okay, well,
listen, I went down to my computer, and I still have a daughter in California.
Right.
I'm trying to get out of California. And I sent her an email and told her about this dream that I had. And it really frightened her. And that's why I was kind of maybe didn't want to say what this dream was. But between you and I, Dr. Stan, I don't usually hold too much back from you. So, anyway.
Well, I think we're in for some very difficult times, Tony. I think that maybe the dream is foreshadowing what lies ahead. Anyway, good
night. But I think the best thing a person could have right now is have some gold, have some silver, because, yes, it'll be the last valid currency until the mark of the beast. And people, you'll see it coming. I mean, it's going to be evident. And then at least you can take that gold and silver and stock up on commodities or something. And, try and ride it out until the Lord comes.
Amen. But, of course, the most important possession is your relationship with the Lord, as you well know. I just want to give the background that reference to throwing the gold and silver in the streets. This comes from Ezekiel 7:19. It says, They will fling their silver into the streets, and their gold will become an abhorrent thing. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. That's what it's all about. Hey, thanks very much, Tony. Bye-bye, and let's go to... Do you have any thoughts at all about what Tony was saying there?
I would just like to say, I believe God gave us a way to trade when the chips come. And, yes, people who don't take the chip will not be able to buy or sell. But if you have your gold, I believe there will be an underground, and I believe he gave us that. I mean, he gave us everything.
So amen to that. Let's go to Sean. Let's go to Sean, who's calling from Spokane, Washington. Before we get to Sean, though, one more time, your telephone number and your website.
800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And our website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
Okay, and I guess Melody Cedarsome. Sean, are you there from Spokane, Washington?
Yeah, how are you doing, Dr. Stan?
Doing just fine. We're going to have to take a little break here, but we'll let you hang on, and we'll try to answer it. But what was your question?
My question was from basically Melody. Do you think, like, at this time, that basically this is a consolidation of all the major banks to basically build up like a big five bank?
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Go right ahead, Sean.
You know, in most other countries in the world, there's not as many banks as in the U.S. And, you know, I was just wanted to ask Melody what she thought. Do you think this is like a big move to consolidate the banking system in the United States?
Yes, I do. I mean, as the system collapses, things will purge. People will, other corporations will buy up other banks. And yes, you will see a merging and a consolidation. And I do believe this is just another part of their plan to take us closer to the one world government, banking, currency, and the whole works.
And, of course, if you notice, we get fewer and fewer big banks and fewer and fewer big corporations and fewer independent, media corporations. Everything is being centralized. This is what it's all about. Okay, anything else, Sean?
Yeah, I just wondered what your thoughts were. Like, you know, Warren Buffett always seems to have his finger on the right button, whether you think he might know beforehand or not. But he's poured a lot of money into the Bank of America, and I was just wondering what Melody might think. Do you think Bank of America might be one of the banks that stays around, seeing Warren Buffett always seems to know where to put his money?
Well, I think Warren Buffett is an insider.
So do I.
So, you know, he knows what's going on, and he says what he's told to say. And I don't believe that the majority of the information that is released of what he does truly benefits anyone. They release the information to me to fool the people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks so much for calling, Sean. Let's go to Kevin, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Stan. I'll make this quick because I know you're running short on time. The scripture that came into my mind was, I think you just touched on it. It was gold and silver does not profit in the day of wrath. And that's, of course, at the end of the final 7 years. So it will be useful during that time. And there's a scriptures for that. I won't go to that. But, you know, the previous caller to this last one who talked about a dream, I'm glad he shared that. I had a dream just a few months ago about the number 799 showed up, and it was related to gold. But I couldn't figure out, it hasn't touched 799. It's been up higher and lower. Anyway, to make a long story short, just today or yesterday, they said they were going to cancel short selling on 799 financial institutions.
And that
number was up on the screen all day today.
Okay. Thanks very much for calling, Kevin. God bless. And Melody, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to having you with us again next month. Any parting thought before we let you go?
I just want to thank the listeners for calling in. They've had a lot of good comments, and I appreciate both of them sharing their dreams, because I think that's important in these days and ages, because I do, there are signs. And I want to thank you for having me on the program, Dr. Stan.
Oh, Richard, God bless. Thanks
God
very
bless
much.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, first off, was Melody Cedarstrom, and we hope you've enjoyed our program with Melody. And, of course, this is the time when I do need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we certainly do need your help. We actually are running a little bit short at the present time. people are having problems across America. So if you are in a position to help Radio Liberty, why, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And here in the Central Coast of California, you can call us at that same number, 800-544-8927. And we are certainly dependent upon those of you out across America, primarily to keep us going. And as you know, we're on shortwave, and we're on the Internet, and we're on satellite, and we're radio stations all across America. But believe me, it's an expensive proposition to keeping the network together. But we're reaching a lot of people, and especially in these times, we need to reach people and let them understand what's going on, and perhaps and hopefully bring them into a personal relationship with the Lord. And only when times really get bad, most people begin looking for answers, and perhaps they'll determine, as I did it was 45 years ago, that if there is so much evil in the world, there must be a God, and if there's a God, I want to come into a personal relationship with him, and that led me, of course, onto my knees asking Christ to come into my life 45 years ago, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful life since that time. Sometimes there's been sadness and tragedy, but I've always had that promise of eternal salvation. So we'd like to hope that you will have that as well. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And we have all sorts of DVDs there, and we've got videos you can watch. And we have our programs you can listen to 9 hours a day. You won't get much accomplished, but you'll get a lot of education, or just listen to a couple a day. We try to make them interesting and entertaining. But more than that, we try to make them educational and try to bring you into an understanding of the fact we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And then, of course, we have a lot of newsletters up there, well worthwhile reading. That's radioliberty.com. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you want to get the talks we've given, certainly on the financial tsunami, our talk on the forbidden secret, our talk on population control, on none dare call it genocide, on planned police state, on the world revolution. There are all sorts of DVDs up there, and we do hope that you'll get them, or at least some of them. And then, of course, we also, of course, want to encourage you to come to our all-day conference. It's going to be on the 26th of October. It's going to be here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And if you've been in the past, you know it's a beautiful facility. Have a great time. Start early in the morning, go until 5:30 in the evening. And, of course, you're going to have reservations because we're serving lunch, and we need to know if you're going to be here. And I can tell you, we've never had such an enthusiastic response as we've had this year. I think we're going to have the best turnout we've ever had, despite the difficult financial times. So our telephone number, again, is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, if you'd like to come to the Radio Liberty annual seminar here on the 26th of October. And if you get in touch with us, we'll send you all the particulars, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we also hope that you'll give serious consideration to becoming a regular supporter for the Radio Liberty programs and join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day, reaching out across America, indeed across the world, with information you're not going to get from other sources. So we're going to be back here in just a moment or two to wrap up our program. We'll be here for a second hour. Well, fortunately, we'll have William Grigg with us at that time. Always a pleasure. So if you could be with us on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, who's certainly one of our favorite guests. William was formerly the senior editor of the New American magazine, and now, of course, he works for the Wealth Society, and he writes their blogs, and of course, he speaks extensively. He writes books, and we do carry his latest book, Liberty and Eclipse. But, of course, he does talk radio, and we're privileged to have him with us tonight. William, thank you so much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Perhaps even infarction would be a better way of describing what happened. The headline in the London Telegraph just yesterday was that the global credit system suffers cardiac arrest as a result of the crash of the financial markets here in the United States. And Ambrose Evans Pritchard, who's probably one of the more percipient writers on economic matters, although he for some reason still clings to Keynesian ideas as to the solution and treatment of the affliction. He's a very good diagnostician. It's where he gets involved in prescriptions that he goes awry. He says the following: the global credit system came close to a total seizure yesterday. Key parts of the derivatives market shut down, and a panic flight to safety depressed the yield on three-month U.S. Treasury bills to almost zero for the first time since the Great Depression in 1934. And at the same time, Dr. Stan, we have the government-controlled media in China, Communist China, which is probably the most important of the many foreign creditors of the United States government and the United States financial system, for the first time overtly starting to talk about displacing the dollar as the reserve currency of the world. Now, we have to point out that the reserve currency, the dollar, is the reserve currency simply because people are willing to take it. They're willing to buy our debt in dollar-denominated entities, these instruments called treasury notes. The Saudis are willing to take dollars in exchange for the most important commodity in the world, petroleum. And because of that, the dollar is accepted. It is a fiat currency. It is backed by the so-called full faith and credit of the United States government, which is to say it's imposed on people through force and fraud. And since August 15th of 1971, it has not been backed by any intrinsically valuable commodity, such as gold or silver. It's an instrument of debt. And the lifeblood of the global economy is what they prefer to call credit, but what honest people have to call debt. In other words, promises to pay in some valuable substance at a future date. The legal tender upon which the entire world financial system is based is a promise to pay something of value. But the problem is there's nothing of value being exchanged here. And you have this endogenous system here where this money circulates. And what they're pleased to call money, the dollar and its equivalents overseas, the fiat currency. But the dollar as the reserve currency is the most important. But it circulates in the system, and it supposedly gains value by building up ever larger increments of debt. And at some point, you have a system where debt has metastasized to such a degree that it will collapse under the weight of the effective repudiation of value of the instrument that is being used to denominate the debt. And we're at that point right now when you have hundreds of billions of so-called dollars being generated just this week by the Federal Reserve, the chief counterfeiting arm of the regime that rules us, the most important counterfeiting entity in the world. Hundreds of billions of dollars. We've been told about of the emission of $180 billion to fund various and sundry bailouts and also to provide what they so gingerly call liquidity other central banks in the world for the purpose of, once again, getting this flow of credit, which is to say the flow of debt going through the system. And now we have the remarkable spectacle of Congress actually working through the weekend on a bill that is being prepared by the Department of Treasury to bail out huge swath of bad mortgage loans to bail out all these financial institutions that have got all these mortgage loans that are going bad to the tune of $1 trillion. Now, that, of course, is, I think, a basement floor estimate. We have no idea how many zeros are going to be attached to this by the time they're finished with it. But we do know that they're talking about, according to Richard Shelby, the Senate Finance Committee ranking Republican, that we're talking about at least $1 trillion. This is perfectly horrifying. I mean, we are seeing in real time right now the effective repudiation of the dollar, and it has to happen this way because there's just nothing behind the dollar except the empty promises of a government that peddles nothing but force, fraud, and debt. Just this morning, if you take a look at tomorrow's New York Times, there's an advanced copy of a front-page story from tomorrow's New York Times describing the reactions of Charles Schumer and Christopher Dodd from a meeting that was held on Capitol Hill in the office of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, where Treasury Secretary Paulson was describing to them what was going on in the world financial markets. What Schumer said is, when you listen to him describe it, you gulped. And he said that history was sort of hanging over it like this was a moment, I mean, a dramatic moment in history. And he talked, Schumer did, about how, quote, you have the credit lines in America, which are the lifeblood of the economy, frozen. That hasn't happened before. It's a brave new world. You are in uncharted territory, but the one thing you do know is that you can't leave them frozen or the economy will just head south at a rapid rate. And the New York Times reports, as he spoke, Mr. Schumer swooped his hand to make the gesture of a plummeting bird. You know, we'd be lucky, he said as his voice trailed off. Well, I'll leave it at that. Now, when they're willing to describe in tones that florid, in terms that florid, that discussion with Treasury Secretary Paulson, it's clear that there were some perfectly terrifying things that were said, and they were said by way of terrifying...
Hold that thought for just a moment, William, when we bring our stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is William Grigg, and we're certainly talking about what's happening as the collapsing financial markets throughout the world, as the Federal Reserve, which incidentally is a privately owned central bank, is not an agency of the United States. In fact, many people believe that the United States government and our legislators are really an agency of the central bank and do its bidding. And I really believe this is exactly the way it works. But how, you know, they suddenly, within the last 48 hours, put up almost a quarter of $1 trillion to bail out the Swiss Central Bank, the European Central Bank, the Central Bank of Great Britain, and central banks throughout the world. Why are we financing other central banks when we're having so many problems right here in the United States? And, of course, it's very, very simple. All the central banks work together, and we're trying to keep the whole world financial system from collapsing. A little wonder, then, as William pointed out, and you can actually find the article on the Internet by typing in Chinese newspaper, new reserve currency, and the general theme is the Chinese newspaper urged a new world currency order. In other words, the Chinese, who are the largest holders of American dollars in the entire world, having probably over $1 trillion of our money, probably far more than that, are talking about, we need a new world reserve currency, no longer the American dollar. And when they dump their dollars, it's going to devastate this country. We are totally subservient to the Chinese communists. We do not dare allow them to do that, because if they did dump their currency, they would destroy the value of the financial resources of literally every American listening to this program. So you pick up the story there.
What's happening right now, as a matter of fact, is that the financial resources of everybody who's party to this conversation and everybody who should be, which is to say anybody who's tried to save any amount of money, who has a retirement fund, anybody who has a savings account, anybody who gets a paycheck, you know, you could round it up to everybody in this country. What's happening is that our financial resources in real time are being depleted as we speak right now. This is a situation, like I've said before, that's akin to owning a herd of horses. You have to be very careful if you manage livestock. Somebody once said, a very wise man once said, that you got to be careful about buying something that eats while you sleep. Well, none of us bought into the Federal Reserve System. And by the way, Dr. Stan, I agree with your order of priorities here as you described the way that the system really works. The government of the United States is an appendage of the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve System is not a government entity. It's a privately owned entity that exercises the de facto power of a government. But what has happened in this last week is we've seen that the Fed can act autonomously to deplete the value of our savings and our earnings in order to bail out people who have made criminally fraudulent decisions and profited off of them on Wall Street. This is really a huge act of larceny, unprecedented in human history. When you talk specifically about what happened with AIG, this very important tentpole institution of the power elite's financial structure, it's described as an insurance company. That's like describing the Ravenite Social Club that the Teflon Don John Gotti and his associates used as their meeting place, their gathering place. That's like describing the Ravenite Social Club as a diner. I mean, it's much more than an insurance company. It has 138 branches in the world. Mr. Greenberg, Hank Greenberg, the former CEO, who's sort of the dark eminence behind the current CEO at AIG, is somebody who's been very instrumental in building up communist China. His predecessor, Mr. Starr, who I think was the founder of that group, is somebody who is very well connected to people who had ties running back into the Soviet Union and helped build up the Soviet Union. And AIG is very deeply involved in a lot of the off-the-book shenanigans of the CIA. They peddle terrorism insurance, which is an area so fraught with moral hazard, it's really difficult to think of anything that's any way akin to it. Terrorism insurance, of course, requires that the threat of terrorism remain plausible. In order to sell terrorism insurance premiums to businesses, to financial interests, to various parts of our governing infrastructure, there has to be a persistent and growing threat of terrorism, and so AIG has the same kind of perverse incentives to build and perpetuate the terrorist threat that the government of the rules has. The government of the rules, of course, profits greatly from having this threat of terrorism. AIG, according to some analysts, and I've not had a chance to get into the details of this to know whether this is plausible, or forgive me, to know whether this is accurate, is certainly plausible. AIG reportedly profited very handsomely off of 9/11 in the sense that they did have to pay out a lot of money for to cover the people who had been involved in the receiving end of the terrorist attacks on 9/11, but they got a lot of that back from government subsidies as well. And Mr. Greenberg himself is very tightly connected to the Bush administration. He was a major fundraiser for George Bush's reelection campaign in 2004. And what he said earlier this week, I believe it was Tuesday, in a letter that he wrote to the current CEO of AIG, was that AIG had lost 90% of its value over the last few years. You could round that up to worthless in terms of the estimate of what the real value of that firm was. But Mr. Greenberg was thrown out as CEO about 3 years ago because of an ongoing inquiry into the fraudulent bookkeeping practices of the firm. They were overstating earnings as a way of boosting their supposed profits and boosting, of course, the performance bonuses being given to their upper executive elite. They're doing the same thing Enron had done that resulted in people going to jail, in other words. So you have this huge fraudulent enterprise that really should have been allowed to collapse, and people should have been prosecuted for committing felonious fraud. But instead, the federal government, or not even the federal government, the Federal Reserve, bought AIG at the price of $80 billion. None of us in this country authorized that purchase. The Congress didn't authorize that purchase. The president didn't even do it by executive order, which, of course, would have been completely unconstitutional. It was this private entity called the Federal Reserve that is accountable to nobody that decided proprio motu to buy AIG and do so by adulterating the earning power of everybody, every dollar that everybody in this country has made. They stole money out of our savings and checking accounts by adulterating the value of it in order to buy that corrupt insider firm. And they're doing this, of course, now as a matter of policy. When you're talking about now about the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve forcing Congress practically at gunpoint to write this bailout legislation that's going to cost us over $1 trillion in order to buy up all these succulent, fraudulent mortgage loans, you're talking about something that results in, if they play it out, the literal socialization of the entire financial system of the United States. I mean, you're talking about the nationalization of these entities. You're talking about collectivizing, socializing the losses, and collectivizing the liabilities, while the profits, of course, remain private in the hands of this preferred elite. You're seeing here a historic moment in the descent of our country into unalloyed tyranny, that is akin to what happened to Russia, quite frankly, in 1905, if not 1917, or what happened in Mexico on a couple of different occasions. I actually went to Mexico in 1982 just after they had nationalized the banks, and I saw what happens to an economy when you nationalize an entire financial system. Mexico's never recovered from that. Chances are that within a couple of years, we're going to be looking at our own economy and our own prospects for social improvement in this country. We're going to be looking at the former middle class in a situation that is comparable to the peonage of many Mexicans right now because of what has been done to that poor, long-suffering country's economy. But this is all happening right now because September is the month when accounts have to be balanced, when accounting has to be made for actual profits. People have to be stating what's actually going on in terms of their bottom line. And this is something that you and I had predicted many, many months ago, Dr. Stan. We had said that in September of this year that we were going to see the unraveling occur in the financial systems and that this would start having a tangible impact on the larger economy. And it's not hit the larger economy yet, but it'll only take a couple of weeks. God help us, if Congress actually rams through what they're calling the RTC 2, the so-called Resolution Trust Corporation 2, to rescue the mortgage lenders, and we actually have this $1 trillion hit on the economy, the markets will tank. There's just no doubt about it. Yes, people are exuberant right now because they've got new money to play with. The investors and speculators are going wild. The markets in London rallied tremendously. The markets in Russia that have been shut down because of the collapse have rallied tremendously. The Dow closed the week 34 points off where it was on Monday after falling by hundreds of points on several consecutive days. And once again, this reflects the fact that there's this new infusion of funny money in the system. But this simply cannot sustain itself. What is happening is that people are playing with inflated currency. And that, of course, is going to have immediate impacts on what's going on in the larger economy, and the markets will reflect this.
But don't you also think that the Working Group on Financial Markets is right in there, manipulating our stock market, manipulating our commodity market, manipulating gold and silver, which, of course, most people do not understand. It's all manipulated. They call it the Plunge Protection Team, but it is really the Working Group on Financial Markets. If you don't believe it, go up on the Internet and just type it in at Google. It in.
Yep.
And you'll find this is an agency of government. What's its job? To manipulate the market so that they make a lot of money and you lose. But go right ahead.
Well, it's not even covert now, the manipulation of the market. Just this morning, the SEC chairman, Christopher Cox, who's the SEC chairman, the former congressman, he issued a regulation forbidding the short selling of 799 financial stocks until October 2nd. Now, just to make it clear to people who, like myself, are not all that well-versed in the arcane language of investment finance, short selling a stock is placing a bet that the stock will go down, and it's usually based on negative information about a given company. In other words, you're trying to find out if a company is worth investing in. You're doing due diligence and finding out what the condition of that company is in terms of its bottom line and its actual performance. And if it looks like that stock, the stock and the company that the stock that issues the stock are impaired, then you short sell the stock. Well, you can't do that now for these 799 financials that are being specially protected by the SEC. This is a closure of the market. They might as well have shut down the market. What they're doing is they're selectively closing down access to certain stocks on the market artificially to prop up the value of these stocks. This is direct intervention of a sort that would bring a familiar rosy smile to the cheeks of Stalin or Lenin. It's that blatant and that obvious. And
hold that office. We'll be right back. Well, what William is really talking about, of course, is government control of the market. And, of course, if you know which way the market's going to go, you can make a lot of money. And believe me, the people working within the Fed, working within the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the Commodities Exchange Market, and the U.S. Treasury Department, they are the ones, of course, who make up the Working Group on Financial Markets. Go right ahead.
Yeah. They're doing everything they can to intervene in the market so as to keep the profit rate up. I mean, they want to enhance the profits of the financials, enhance the profits on Wall Street. And this is the classic Keynesian slash New Deal approach to dealing with the Depression. What they are admitting by what they're doing is that we're in the opening phase of what would have to be considered a depression. A depression, of course, is a general system-wide fall or decrease in prices. And it's a very healthy thing. It's a necessary adjustment after an artificially induced boom that leads to clusters of malinvestments. They have to be cleaned up. There's just no way of getting around it. That means the profits will fall and prices will fall. And a certain equilibrium is reached in the marketplace. That's supposed to happen. People have gotten the impression on the basis of what happened over the last 8 or 10 years, for instance, with respect to the housing market and mortgages, that the equity will always increase in a home, that it will always be worth more next year than it was worth this year, and that you should treat a home as an investment. And so what's different about this particular boom and bust, this particular boom and depression, is that so much of it is tied up in artificially encouraged and federally subsidized home ownership, or the illusion of home ownership, because the bank actually owns your home until you pay off your mortgage. And you find that out. If you go delinquent on your mortgage, the bank takes possession of it. And so many people have been gulled into believing that there is some newly discovered law of economics that dictates that you'll always see an increase in the equity of your home, and that interest rates will always remain low, and you'll always be able to borrow against the inflated value of your home. And a lot of the consumer market, a lot of the consumer economy, rather, was bound up and fueled by this delusion. And never before in the history of our country has this been the case. And that this was something that was a direct result of policies that were put in place by the Federal Reserve starting in about 1994, 1995. And that was hard on the heels of a recession that was brought about by the last time government intervened to bail out a huge section of the financial system, and that, of course, was the SNL debacle, the first Resolution Trust Corporation that came online in 1989 or 1990. That was put together in order to pay off and mop up the damage that was wrought by the SNL debacle of the 1980s, which was brought about by very similar corruption and very similar interventions in the market by the federal government. And the solution, of course, was to have the taxpayer take over and buy up and pay for all of the bad debts that were incurred through the SNL crisis. And now we're being told that we have what they're calling the RTC2, the Resolution Trust Corporation 2, in order to bail out all these banks that are heavily exposed to the resetting arms and the other exotic, pornographically complicated loan and mortgage products that were used to fuel the artificially induced housing bubble. And this, of course, is the same kind of thing that happened with the first RTC, but it's several orders of magnitude greater.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with William Gregg. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, William Gregg was using the analogy that the people are trying to use to tell us things aren't so bad. That it's just like when we had the savings and loan failures across the country here a decade and a half ago, and the government came in and simply bought up all the obligations, and everything was fine, and we got through that, we're going to get through this. It's just a little bump in the road. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not a bump in the road. This is a boulder in the road. This is a mountain across the road, and what you're seeing is the whole world financial system come cascading down. I mean, the Resolution Trust Company, I think, was about $600 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about trillions of dollars. Certainly, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, at least between $1 and $2 trillion. We're talking about AIG and their derivatives, probably a half a dozen of $1 trillion. And pretty soon, as one of my friends recently said, $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there, and you're really soon very talking about worthless money.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
I mean, there is a principle of economics that says that inflation is the process through which a fiat currency descends to its genuine level of value, which is zero. I mean, a fiat currency is literally created out of nothing. The wisdom of ages past, you can go back millennia in recorded human history, and you can see that for as long as there has been this thing called currency, the most commonly used and most suitable method of exchange, means of exchange, has been gold and silver, something that has appreciable and intrinsic value, what we consider to be intrinsic value. And of course, now we know that gold and silver are intrinsically valuable. You cannot have a modern information economy without the type of hardware that makes extensive use of both gold and silver. Every computer, every cell phone, every television camera, every modern television camera has components that need both gold and silver. It is very important. And, of course, there are many other practical uses for gold and silver that have to do with the modern amenities we've become accustomed to. But the fact is that gold and silver have always been esteemed because of their scarcity, because of their divisibility, because of their portability, because they've always had something about them that has an enduring appeal. And they've always been used as a means of exchange, or notes that are redeemable in face value for gold and silver have been used as a means of exchange. I like to say that only God can make real money. You know, God created the mineral reserves of the earth that include gold and silver and platinum, the platinum group of metals that are very important for a lot of the higher-end manufacturing that are also traded as commodities that are also a good store of value. But, of course, the fiat dollar, once again, is only backed by the insistence of the government that we take it. And what is happening now, of course, is that all of these fractional reserve entities, all these banks that are mendicants as part of the Federal Reserve System, they all basically are in the business of retailing debt on behalf of the chief counterfeiting agency of the world, the Federal Reserve. Their debt burdens have become insuperable, which is why credit has not been flowing. Banks have not been lending each other money because they know that they're not going to get paid back. And that takes us once again to this AIG bailout, which is just such a staggeringly perverse example of what we're talking about when we refer to the power elite, we refer to the corporatist system, where politically connected people are completely immune from scrutiny most of the time and from prosecution when necessary. I mean, Fannie and Freddie were riotous examples of federally subsidized cronyist corruption. And you had those two entities brought in, nationalized, fully nationalized by the United States government, which is now taking over its liabilities. Its liabilities, as you said, Dr. Stan, run into the trillions, perhaps as much as $5 trillion. Nobody knows whether or not that's going to go on budget yet. That's still not been decided. But Congress earlier this year passed a horrifically imprudent measure authorizing Treasury Secretary Paulson, who right now is probably the most powerful man on earth, if not the second most powerful to Ben Bernanke. It's either Bernanke or Paulson right now in terms of actual impact on the lives of human beings. He'll be the most powerful figure on earth. But Paulson was given permission to do what was necessary in order to save Fannie and Freddie. And it was the nationalization of Fannie and Freddie that started this wave of commentary in the press about the end of capitalism, how we were seeing the formal repudiation of free market capitalism, which we've not had in this country, quite frankly, for decades. You don't have a free market if you don't allow people to fail. If people cannot fail, it's not a free market. If certain people are permitted to fail, but others are not permitted to fail, you do not have a free market. You and I, Dr. Stan, of course, are perfectly free to fail. We're perfectly free to go out and run up debts that we can't pay, and then declare bankruptcy, but the bankruptcy laws have been changed to make it harder for us to get out from under the obligations that we incur because they're relatively trivial ones. If you or I go out and run up, say, $200,000 in debt on a mortgage or on stupid consumer purchases or so forth, we will be treated with far greater severity by a bankruptcy judge than anybody who runs up $200 billion worth of debt.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's William Grigg, and certainly William is pointing out the inconsistencies of what's going on today. As the people who are part of the ruling elite, and there is a ruling elite, are allowed to get away with we won't say it with murder, but certainly financial malfeasance, where the gentleman who is the head of Fannie Mae, they were cooking the books. They were actually making all sorts of statements about money and the value of their corporation. And they knew it wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Franklin Saunders, was it?
Franklin Rains.
What?
Franklin Raines.
Franklin Raines. It was a
close friend of Obama's.
He was allowed to retire with $100 million, a golden parachute. I mean, just a very, very short time ago. And then suddenly we find out this is all, they've cooked the books. Of course, the stockholders there, they were told that everything was just fine and the stock has just plummeted. It's almost without value today. In fact, they may lose all of their investment. But Franklin Rainey, of course, is going to come out with $100 million. Well, some people said he ought to maybe give maybe $1 million or so back, But he's one of the elite. And when you understand that they have different standards for the elite and then for the common folks, if you and I were to do something like that, why, of course, we'd go right off to the hooscow. Mm-hmm. But when you are part of the ruling elite, why, you get away with, essentially with murder. Go right ahead.
Yeah. It is murder in the sense that it's stealing the effort, stealing the life effort of people. And when you take a look at how this metastasizes into war, it's literal murder. I mean, that's one of the parts of the story that not many people appreciate, is the identity that exists between the financial elite and what you might call the war-making element of the power elite. The fact that one of the reasons you have the Federal Reserve in this country is that a decision was made that in order to finance the imperial foreign policy that was the desire of the Anglo-American elite that elevated Woodrow Wilson to office, who were represented, of course, by the figure known as Colonel Edward Mandel House, that the reason why we have a Federal Reserve, a central bank, that has the power of inflation, of issuing a fiat currency, is that it was understood that in order to finance the foreign adventurism and imperial adventures of Washington, you had to have that type of financial institution. So we are talking about murder. We're talking about mass murder. Certainly what's going on in Iraq is a good example of that as well. But the thing that just infuriates me here, when people start talking about this as the end of market capitalism, the people who are distracted enough to pay attention to what's going on will be led to believe that this is an indictment of private greed, and that is a result of what they call deregulation.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with William Grigg here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is William Grigg, formerly senior editor of the New American Magazine. Now, of course, works for the Welch Foundation, doing a great job with their blog site. He's written a book called The Eclipse of Liberty. We do carry the book. It talks about the coming police state. And, Sidney, William, is there anything you'd like to get up? Why don't you tell our listeners how they can get to your blog site?
Well, actually, I have a new way that people can get to my blog site that's easy to remember. Just go to willgrigg.com. There's a website that is sort of a portal to a lot of the things that I'm involved in. On the right-hand side of the front page of willgrigg.com, just up in the upper corner, there's a list of links that you can follow, and one of them will take you right to my blog, which is called Pro Libertate. Pro Libertate is I aspire to make it into a daily blog, but my schedule is such that I try to publish every other day. And Pro Libertate is unlike most blogs in that it is not simply a web diary. I'm not writing one or two paragraph length brief items that are just comments on the passing scene. I'm not linking to other essays by other people. I'm trying to put out a fully sourced 1,200 to 2,000 word essay that will examine what's going on, not only with respect to finance, which has been the subject I've written about almost exclusively this week, but also with respect to the assault on liberty through the emerging homeland security state, which is the subject of my most recent book, Liberty and Eclipse. And it's also devoted to any one of a number of various assaults on individual liberty and the dignity of the individual as created in the image of God. I describe myself in the Pro Libertate blog as a Christian libertarian. The important thing to remember is the libertarian describes what my political views are. I'm a Christian who has libertarian political views. I'm not a libertarian who happens to flavor his political commentary with Christian considerations. I mean, the most important part of my worldview is my understanding of the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he's the author and finisher of our liberty, but more importantly, the creator and ruler of the universe, and from that perspective proceeds my political assumption. But the purpose of Pro Libertate, quite frankly, is to use whatever influence I can muster to make people angry about what's being done to us and what's being done to the future of our children. I'm the father of five young children. My oldest is not quite 11 years old. And it infuriates me that there are people who right now are presuming to plan their future for them. They've already written checks that would be cashed in the blood of my children if I were to permit them to carry out their plans. And that's true of anybody who has young children, anybody who aspires to have a family. I remember not so long ago, a generation ago, a very different country than the one we're living in. In some ways, we have luxuries and amenities that we couldn't have imagined, say, in the late 70s, early 80s, when I was a teenager. But in other ways, we're dealing with all-encompassing threats to everything that we hold dear that are of such a magnitude that I honestly don't think that a 17- or 18-year-old version of myself could have imagined what we're staring at now in terms of what is being done to us. And so I use the Pro Libertate blog as a way of trying to use the itching powder of my acerbic commentary to disturb the tranquility of people who are lounging in front of their television set and amusing themselves to death. So the portal to this, once again, is www.willgrigg.com. You can go to the Pro Libertate blog there. It also links to lewrockwell.com. Lew Rockwell, quite frequently, links to or republishes a lot of what I've written. The Right Source, which is the web portal for the Welsh Foundation, for which I work as an editor at large, the URL for that is www.rightsourceonline.com. We're going to be renovating that and trying to refurbish it and get that up and running again. That's a way that people can order my book, Liberty and Eclipse. It's also available through Radio Liberty. It can be ordered through Amazon.com. And Liberty and Eclipse, I think, is particularly timely now in light of what happened during the two nominating conventions in Denver and St. Paul, where we saw sort of the grand coming out party for this militarized, federalized law enforcement system that has replaced what had been our constitutional system of law enforcement, where we had locally accountable peace officers, primarily sheriffs and their deputies. And now we have an increasingly militarized and, I would say, overtly militarized law enforcement system, where the police are taking on more and more the aspect of an occupying army. That's something our founding fathers, once again, had specifically warned us about. They warned us about a number of things. Good grief, Thomas Jefferson went on at great length and with great passion talking about the dangers of banking establishments and how they were more dangerous even than standing armies or armies of occupation. Madison warned about how war could be used to create debts and taxes. You know, from wars, war is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes, and armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for reducing the many to the domination of the few. We're seeing that right now, and it's just an amazing thing how quickly it's happening and how brazen they're being about it. And Dr. Stan, to go back to something I was saying before the last break, the fact that we're seeing all these news organs, Der Spiegel in Germany is one, the McClatchy News Service here in the United States is another, two or three different papers in Great Britain have said the same thing. They're all talking about how we're seeing the United States, this last bastion of market capitalism, finally come to its senses and acknowledge by its actions, if not by the rhetoric of its rulers, the wisdom of having a nationalized financial system and the wisdom of having a more interventionist system where the financial markets and the economy at large are concerned. And it's so vitally important that people understand that we have not had a free market system in this country. And the primary beneficiaries of the type of socialism we've had are the politically connected super rich, because they are always able to indemnify their bad decisions by forcing the rest of us to pay for them. We've had that particular form of socialism in which, once again, if you owe, let's say, $200,000 you can't pay, you'll be forced by the bankruptcy court system to pay it. But if you owe $200 billion, then you can expect the federal government to make those of us who work for a living to pay for your bad business decisions, and you'll get a golden parachute.
And I think it's really what we're talking about is the fascist system. This is corporate fascism, corporate socialism, call it what you will. We've lost sight of our vision of a free society and free enterprise and adopted fascism.
Yeah. This, of course, is something that started during World War I, before there was really a name for what is now called fascism. Or you could actually say it started during the mid-19th century, with the railroad combine that thrust Abraham Lincoln into the presidency in 1860. He was a very well-compensated railroad lawyer. The railroads, of course, are a wonderful undertaking. I think that the railroad system of the 19th century was a wonderful achievement when it was done privately, and there were private railroad interests that did a very good job, but the building of the Transcontinental Railroad, that, by the way, was partially financed by the Lehman Brothers, who started their bank in 1850 before it died in 2008, just on Monday of this week. But the taxpayers, of course, were compelled to pay a lot of the expense, to subsidize the expense of building the railroads. And one great subsidy that was given to the railroad combine came after the war between the states, when the United States Army was sent to kick the Plains Indians off of lands that had been promised to them by treaty so they could run railroads across them. And this is a really good example of sort of a prototype of what happened. You had the the railroad combine, which was a cartel of private interests being subsidized by the taxpayers, being helped out by the military in terms of land acquisition in violation of solemn treaties that have been signed in good faith, supposedly in good faith. And then in World War I, you had the administration of the economy by Bernard Baruch, whose father, ironically enough, had been a Confederate officer in the war between the states. Bernard Baruch ended up being sort of the chief commissar of the entire U.S. economy, and it was run on principles that were later adopted by the German National Socialists in the 1930s as they geared up for war. And that shouldn't surprise us, because as you never cease to remind us, Dr. Stan, and I really appreciate the fact that you do, it was this same cluster of Wall Street interests that helped finance the arms buildup and the infrastructure buildup of Hitler's Germany. It shouldn't surprise us that Hitler's Germany would use as its template for National Socialism the management of the economy the Bernard Baruch administration of the wartime economy in World War I here in the United States. And so by 1933, 1934, when the New Deal was inflicted upon our country, one of the first things that FDR and his brain trust did was to review the writings of Giovanni Gentile, who was one of the chief theorists of Italian fascism, and they adopted that template to the circumstances here in the United States by way of creating the system of corporate socialism. There's a very good account of that that was written by Charlotte Twight, who's a professor at Boise State University. I believe it was in her book, Twilight of Industrial Capitalism. I think it was called Twilight of Industrial Capitalism, but she did talk about that. So did the book, The Roosevelt Myth by John T. Flynn. John T. Flynn, of course, was one of the founders of the America First movement. He had been a contributing editor at the New Republic, and he was a lawyer and a critic of a lot of the corporate interests that were behind the cartelization of our economy. He was considered a liberal, but he became a very outspoken critic, very impassioned critic of FDR when FDR started to socialize and corporatize the entire American economy in the New Deal. It got to the point that by 1940, FDR actually contacted the New Republic and had John T. Flynn fired because Mr. Flynn's critiques had become so poignant and so effective. But as you say, Dr. Stan, this is not a free market system. It's a fascist system. There are elements of it that are relatively free. I mean, you and I can earn money and save some element of what we earn and use it to buy goods of our choice and live a pretty high standard of living, albeit one that's very precarious, as we're finding out. But we are free to fail. We are perfectly free to fail. As a matter of fact, there are many people that encourage us to fail because by failing, we can become more to the state. Whereas the uber-rich, the people at the top of the social pyramid, they're free to fail in the sense that there's no consequences for their failure. They will never have to worry about ranging their household budget so as to pay off a bankruptcy settlement, because they have been the recipients of political protection and effective subsidy by the Federal Reserve, by the federal government. And if they're people are running concerns such as Lehman Brothers necessarily, but AIG and Bear Stearns and these heavenly knows how many financial institutions that are going to be bailed out by this great mortgage buyout that's going to be arranged over the weekend, if they're running concerns of that sort, or if they're corporate officers of Fannie or Freddie, they will never know the panic desperation that descends on some of the American households who have to make good on their obligations when their financial circumstances go bad and they end up failing. You should be free to fail at every level if this is a genuine free market economy. And there's no shame in failing. That happens to most people at some time in their life. Many, many great and decent and industrious people have failed at what they have tried to accomplish. Many good, thrifty, industrious, honest people have been driven into bankruptcy. That happens to people. That's one of the tragic realities. And one of the things that happens in a genuine free market economy, in theory, I mean, I've never lived under one, but I know how it's supposed to work, would be that if you find yourself under a crushing debt load that you cannot manage, you go to a bankruptcy court and some arrangement is made to where you can make a good faith effort to pay off what you can in order to make good with your creditor. That's what should be going on all across this economy right now with all these financial houses that owe people money they can't pay. AIG, we were told, had what are called counterparty relationships with pretty much every significant financial institution in the world. That's why they couldn't fail, because if they failed, then these contracts they had would go bad, and the people with whom they had debts wouldn't be able to collect, and you'd have this metastasizing, this metastasis of debt that would go through the system. Well, yes, that's what would happen, and it would be painful, it would be horrible, it would be horrifying. But that's going to happen anyway. You simply cannot eternally defer the day of reckoning. And what they're doing right now, rather than limiting the damage and try and contain it by making people start to do the hard work of working out and honoring some kind of an arrangement with their creditors, is that they are destroying value of the dollar. They're creating an exponential version of damage that could be relatively limited. And, of course, what has happened is that now we're being told that there's pretty much nobody in this entire financial system that is going to be required to make good on the bad debts that they have accumulated. And there's nobody, probably what's going to happen next is we're going to find out that there's nobody who's going to be permitted to fail in the automotive industry. Detroit will be receiving a big bailout. And, of course, the airlines are going to be receiving a big bailout. And by the time they're finished, the entire economy is going to be socialized. And this is not going to take long at all. This is something I wrote about, and many people have warned about, but I wrote about it in 2005, how with the advent of Ben Bernanke as Federal Reserve Chief, you have somebody on record talking about the unlimited power of the Federal Reserve to stave off a depression, that is to say, a collapse in prices in an economy, by printing up what it's pleased to call money in any quantity necessary in order to buy up everything. I mean, not just to buy up the financials, but also to buy up mortgages, to buy up real estate, to buy up undeveloped land. They're talking about their ability to buy up everything. Well, the problem here is that they are limited by what we just heard about in the last couple of days from China. They're limited by the fact that at some point, the foreign bondholders are just going to say, okay, we've had our surfeit of dollar-shaped IOUs. We're not buying anymore. We're going to dump the bonds that we have. We're going to dump the T-bills that we have. And when that happens, of course, we're going to go the way of Zimbabwe. You're going to see hyperinflation take on literally a hyperbolic curve, and we're going to end up a situation where the dollar is literally worthless, and something else is going to have to be used instead of the dollar. And it's at that point, I think, that these foreign creditors are going to come in here and start either foreclosing on what we have, or we're going to be forced to have the national equivalent of a yard sale in order to make some kind of an arrangement with our national creditors. I mean, that's the direction we're being driven. Rather than forcing the people who contracted the bad debts to make good on their debts, forcing them to have the equivalent of yard sales, our country is being forced en masse in the same direction.
And I think what's really significant is the fact that they're planning, because these are not stupid people,
no.
Jackie Paulson, they're planning on destroying the value of our currency through inflation and impoverishing our people. And I believe that out of the coming chaos will come a demand, please do something for us. Oh, world government, world currency, stable currency, gold-backed currency, privately issued. That's what the Council on Foreign Relations writers are talking about, a privately issued gold-backed currency. You can't have a world government without a global currency. You can't certainly do that with the American dollar. What's the solution? Should be pretty obvious. We're moving towards the destruction of the American dollar and everything most people possess. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
I would urge our listeners right now to do what they can to provide for the physical preservation of their households for a period of as long as they can manage. If it's weeks, that's good. If it's months, that's better. That means you have to have a stable and secure supply of food and water. You have to have ready cash on hand. I would urge people right now, when silver is down at the lowest it's been for a long, long time, my personal recommendation, take it if you like it, ignore it if you will, is to go out and buy silver, because silver would have usable, negotiable value in the event that we find ourselves in a really straitened circumstance here where the dollar is concerned. I plan on doing that. That's something that our household's going to be doing. If you think it's wise advice, take it. If you think it's foolish advice, ignore it, but it's there. But you have to provide for the physical security of your household. You have to provide for having some means of acquiring things that you will need. Don't make the assumption that the retail stores, the convenience stores, are always going to be operating the way they are right now. Our entire system is based upon a just-in-time system of both finance and just-in-time system of restocking, which means that a modest hiccup in the supply line could cause huge hardships for people. Prepare against that contingency, and by all means, draw closer to family, draw close to God. We're heading for some incredibly hard times, the likes of which we've never seen in this country. I honestly believe that we're headed for a depression, the magnitude of which will dwarf that our grandparents went through and endured. Please prepare against that time. Fortify yourselves spiritually and fortify yourselves in the company of your family. These are going to be profoundly troubling times, but there is one potential thread of optimism. If enough people understand why this happened, then when the rubble finally settles, we'll be able to rebuild something much better than we have right now.
And, of course, we really have that hope. This is what Ron Paul has said.
Yeah.
When we come out of the far end of this coming chaos, and he was writing this, of course, you know, half a dozen years ago, we will either reestablish our constitutional system of freedom or we will live in a brutal tyranny. Which one it is really up to you out there in the listening audience. You need to get the information. You need to get a little pamphlet we're putting together on Ron Paul's writings. You need to understand what William Grieg is talking about and go to certainly his blog site. Get the information. Get copies of the programs we have of our interviews with William Grieg. And William, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye. All right, five. Well, of course, I guess this evening has been William Grieg, and this evening, really very, very profound. The Chinese are talking about a new currency. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, I'm just pointing out the wisdom that William Grieg had put forward. And of course, during the program, William Grieg had talked about the Chinese newspaper suggesting, and remember now, no Chinese newspaper puts out an article without the permission of the ruling elite over there. And of course, they're talking about the necessity for a new reserve currency. What's the reserve currency today? It's the American dollar. What are they talking about? Abandoning the American dollar. And, of course, that would flood our country with literally trillions of dollars. We've been inflating, we've been exporting our inflation for years. And when that inflation comes back here, it will destroy the value of your currency. Begin to learn and study what this is all about. You need to get our little pamphlet on the history of money. You need to get our little pamphlet on the financial meltdown. You need to get our talk on the financial tsunami given several years ago, but it's just as apropos today as when we gave it, and then the syllabus that goes with that. And then you need to understand the financial forces at work. You need the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's temporarily out of print, but you can order it now. We'll get it for you as soon as it's available. You need to get the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, which we do have, and Fiat Money Inflation in France. And if you were to read all of the things and watch the DVD, you would know far more than, most of our college professors who are educated far beyond their intelligence. But understand there is an elite out there, and they've, of course, been using the financial and military power of the United States to pursue a goal. A one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world currency, and, of course, a one-world ruler. And this is the age-old plan of the ancient mystery religions and secret societies, and we are privileged or perhaps doomed to see it being carried out during our times today, but these are exciting times to understand what's going on, exciting times to know the Lord. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We want to remind you about the all-day seminar we're going to be having here in the Monterey Bay area, North Shore Monterey Bay, at the beautiful Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And we're going to be bringing in speakers from all over the country. Dr. Blaylock will be here. Joanna Michelson will be here. Certainly we're going to bring in Pat Woods, going to talk on finances and what's really going on behind the scenes and what you're going to have to know if you have any hope of surviving. That's the 26th of October. It's a Sunday. We hope you can make it. People are coming from across the country. We've had more people signing up this year. We're having more people signing up today than ever before, which to me is an excellent sign that people are aware of what's going on. And then, of course, you're going to call us at 1-800-544-8927 if you're coming, and let us know how many people you're bringing. And, of course, we'll tell you where you can get hotel rooms, although if you're going to do that, you're going to have to sign up because they only promise to hold the hotel rooms until the 28th of September. After that, you may or may not be able to get them at a reduced rate. But anyway, it's always a good time. Start at 8 o'clock in the morning. The doors will open at 8, and of course we'll go through till 5 in the evening. And people who have been here in the past have always enjoyed it. Hope you can make it. Remember, again, that's October 26th, right here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And you can watch our DVDs. You can watch our other videos. You can read our newsletters. You can listen to our programs. You can read the essays that are there. Tremendous amount of information that you need. We do need to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And, a lot of people are hurting, and certainly some people have had to cut back on their support. And right now, of course, we would really appreciate your support if there's any way you can help us. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. We hope you'll want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we get the truth out across America by shortwave. And believe me, shortwave is expensive. By internet, by radio, by satellite. But we're reaching people all across the world. Would you like to help us? Till Monday, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.